Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
How? It's Thursday already. I love it. And everybody in H-Town's giddy because the Texans are back on the practice field getting ready for the Jaguars, or as Barry might call them,
Jaguars.
Okay.
Jaguars.
Jaguars. I think he gave us a little Jaguar yesterday.
Jaguars. Did I say Jaguar?
And Barry,
that's not
is
like me.
Suspiciously interested in the NBA and your favorite team, the Rockets, because he was not only watching the game last night, but he was tweeting about it.
Something's wrong with me.
It's got to be
damn
some
you,
crazy
Trump.
Nuts. Yeah. This was his way of protesting, I think.
That's right.
At the same time, the Rockets did get a big victory over the San Antonio Spurs. Please don't crown them the champs, gang. I know.
Oh, they're winning now.
Maya and Kurtlow were both very upset that they had predicted losses and then the Rockets won. They were not happy that the Rockets won. They were upset that they predicted them to lose, and they didn't.
Haters. Hey, guess who's ahead of the Spurs in the standings?
That would be your Houston Rockets.
Rockets. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and
guess
you
who's
had,
ahead of
you
everybody.
Had tweeted.
Clippers.
Yeah. And I kind of said that.
Yeah.
At the same time, when you look at it, the Spurs, as you tweeted, had only lost one home game all of last season.
Which I tweeted incorrectly. I said 41-1. I meant 40-1.
By the way, El Jefe has got to be licking his wounds today.
Oh, yeah. I bet we don't hear from him.
Now, I know that John and Raheel did. So I know that, and they were taking shots at him.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm sure he got a little bit of a bruising.
Where you at, boss man?
We're waiting on you.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you're going to tell me that Kawhi Leonard was fouled, too. But I'm checking to find out when the NBA L2 report comes out for last night, because there's a lot of Spurs fans blaming the officials and the lack of whistles on the fact that they lost the game, not the fact that they were down the majority of the game playing catch up. And really the only time that the Rockets kind of gave ground was when James Harden was on the bench. That's why I lend the question to both of you, and Nick Sciarra behind the glass, as always, comes into the discussion, which is earlier is always better for him. Otherwise he falls asleep. In looking at that game last night, every time Harden sat down, the Spurs made a run.
Yeah.
And I think we've identified that James is obviously going to be an MVP candidate probably all year long. The D'Antoni system fits him like a glove. The numbers are huge. The assists are up. You know, a triple-double last night, first time in Rockets history that someone had a triple-double, including, what, 15 or more assists? Is that right,
Nick? That's crazy.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah. So he's doing everything he's expected to be doing as the leader of this club, the highest-paid player, and the best player on the roster. I'm more concerned about everybody else. I'm concerned about the fact that San Antonio surprised me by not going to the low post more. I think they only had 7 or 8 touches combined between Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge on the low block. And I thought that, as we talked about yesterday, there was a decided advantage for the Spurs if they had chosen to do that. But that just meant the Rockets were able to dictate tempo and really just force it down their throat, continue to run. Leonard, I thought, would have been on Harden more and done a better job on him, but it didn't work out. But again, only one regular season game. But I'm just curious on your guys' takes, because there's so many people that think, you know, the fifth game of a 5-game road trip, you're supposed to be tired, you're supposed to be weary, and instead you get a win against the Spurs. But let's not forget, the Spurs in the regular season the last couple of years have succumbed to the Rockets' pressure in the regular season several times, getting swept 1 year. But when it comes down to the playoffs, it normally is a much different story.
Yeah, I thought the Rockets played really well, considering that it was their 7th game on the road, which, by the way, kudos to them for going 4-3 to open the season on the road with only one home game. So that's why they're sitting at 5-3 right now. I don't think most people would have thought that would have been the case. New team trying to gel, trying to get their chemistry together. So good for them. But I thought they didn't play great defense last night, But I thought they played really well. There was only three Spurs in double figures. Leonard went off for 34, but Lee had 10 and Aldridge had 14, and that's it. Nobody else scored in double figures. That says a lot about what they did. I really feel like towards the end there, for all they did, they tried to give it away. Mm-hmm. The offense literally stalled within the last 2 minutes. It was James sitting at the top of the three-point line for the duration of the shot clock and then deciding to take an ill-advised three. The offense sometimes still has some you know points of contention, which I think you're always going to have with James Harden, regardless of what system you have in place. Sometimes we saw it last year, and we've seen it since Harden has been a Houston Rocket. It stalls out where he just sits at the top of the key holding the ball, and maybe that's fine. They're killing the clock or whatever, but when you don't make those and you give the Spurs a chance to get back in it like they did, then you got to hold on for dear life, especially if you're not a great defensive team. Good win, though. Good for them. I was excited and surprised at the same time to see the contributions that Sam Dekker made early on.
Yeah,
that first half, he had a great first half.
And here's what, and before we get to you, Nick, the one thing on that that I'll say about Dekker is he was in the doghouse with D'Antoni in the second half of the Washington game. Simply because he was not putting a body on Otto Porter or anybody else, and there was a lot of offensive rebounds. If you think back to the Washington game, Washington got back into it because they were killing the Rockets on their offensive glass, the Rockets' defensive glass. And he really he called the timeout. He stormed over, got Dekker out of the game. And I thought, well, this is where Sam last year would have mailed it in and thought, they're picking on me and I can't figure it out. To his credit, last night, right off the bat, and he focused on the glass first. He had 4 rebounds in about 3 minutes, 7 quick points. And then the momentum starts flowing. You start feeling good about yourself. You start really feeling like a part of the team. Harden then was looking for him, and that was the key. He's got to be key off that bench because they started talking about what we've been talking about for the last week or so, and that is their second unit can't shoot and is not very good.
Yeah.
So in order to win games, there's going to be a lot of high-minute games for your starters.
Yeah, I think the back-to-back, I think that he's finally getting over that mental hump that you were talking about. He was always afraid to shoot the ball, especially last season, but I think he's starting to finally get over that mental block that he can really believe he can make that shot. But, well, yeah, I think, like Barry said, their defense was okay. There was a couple times in the first half that I think Leonard was just way too open. I was asking Joel about who was actually – they kept switching off with Green and – Doyle Green and Leonard on Harden on defense. But I think on defense for the Rockets, they could have done better in the second half. They started really good in the first quarter. I just wish they would carry it over into the second half because they had like 31 points in the first quarter, and then it kind of slowed down in the second half. That's the only thing I would say.
By quarter, they went 33-30, 22-16. We're seeing that it's kind of emerging as a pattern because the last time I looked at a box score or a line score, it was very similar, right? 30s and 20s.
They're averaging 31 points a game in the first quarter.
Yeah, and then by the fourth quarter, it's under 20 for both teams. So I don't know what happens. You know, I mean, obviously the game tightens up in any NBA game.
But the Rockets are running out of juice in their legs, too. It's early in the season,
sure,
and not everybody's in midseason form. Now, I give James credit because he's found a way to dig very deep and continue to contribute, but that's, again, why the numbers go down in the fourth quarter. But, Nick, to your point, the other thing that you have to – that's why I'm not ready to anoint them anything right now is because the Spurs missed a lot of open shots.
They did.
Aldridge, who normally kills them with the mid-range jumper, missed a lot of, like, naked wide-open shots. And so did Kawhi Leonard. Danny Green, who's always Danny Green early against the Rockets because he's just getting his legs under him, wasn't obviously going to be Danny Green in the second half. But overall, it's going to be interesting to see what happens on the bounce-back game where they play the Spurs again on Saturday night, this time down here in downtown Houston, and see how the Spurs bounce back and if it really means something to them, because Popovich is known to just brush aside the regular season and just make, as long as they make the playoffs, he's fine. But for the Rockets, I think it's another very important game because you really can solidify making a statement early in the season that they know how tough a schedule they have. They know the league now is talking about it. But at the same time, they're finding ways to win. It doesn't matter if they're games you're supposed to win against less than stellar teams. Win the games that are on the schedule and especially the ones you're supposed to win and then pull a couple of these like the Spurs game out and people start talking about you in a positive light more and more. That's what they're after early in the season.
Yeah, a couple of points to what you were saying about shooting. The Spurs shot 39% from the field, 33 out of 84, where the Rockets shot 47.5%. One of the other things that I noticed about this team that I think is going to be a plus for the Rockets throughout this season is they're better at the free throw line this year. Without Dwight, Nene can shoot a little bit. I don't know what his free throw is for his career, but he seems like he's more comfortable at the free throw line than Dwight was. And overall, that's not going to be a liability for this team down the stretch, and I think that'll be a big advantage for them. That's why I think they're going to be better than people are giving them credit for. They lost a lot of games down the stretch because of Hackett White. Right. So I think this team can gain a few wins overall in their record just because of that alone.
Big stretch coming up. Two games at home.
Yep.
So they got another one against the Spurs, then the game that, again, a should-be win, but that's one you can't take for granted in Philly. But then for me, the test, because of what you just said, Barry, to see the barometer, Oklahoma City, Portland, and Utah, three teams that they are going to be fighting with for position the entire year. Great barometer to see where they stack up against those three teams, all three of them on the road, all three of them big tests. Tough places to play in Portland, Utah, and OKC. Should be interesting. Should be a big week for the Rockets, starting Saturday night with the Spurs. But hey, a win's a win. Rockets are 5-3. It's pretty impressive with the early start schedule that they've had so far. If you want to talk about it, 713-780-ESPN. That's 780-3776. Or you can tweet us. We are all on Twitter, at NoHitNick, at PacManJoel with a K, and at BarryIsFunny. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, boys. Nick behind the glass, Barry and Joel till 4. We started talking about the Rockets. A friend of mine sent me something yesterday that I found interesting that he was conversing with a lot of people on social media about. Wanted to get your opinion on it. Through 8 games, NBA Advanced Stats rank these players as the top 5 players in the league in order. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yep. Number 1, Chris Paul. Number 2, Russell Westbrook. Number 3, James Harden. Number 4, Kawhi Leonard. Number 5, Kevin Durant. So there's your top 5. I know people will ask, the millennials champion among champions, LeBron James, is 10th.
That's silly.
10th.
Now, what was this list?
NBA Advanced Stats. So it's essentially, and you can Google it, 2016-17 NBA Stats Leaders and just Advanced Stats. Put in Advanced Stats. So essentially, it's everything. It's offensive rating.
It's like Baseball War or something like that.
It's like Billy Bean and Moneyball on steroids.
Okay.
But essentially, it's breaking down like everything from, you know, percentage of wins, block, everything.
Plus, minus on the floor and all that stuff.
So now, I go and I search it. As of today, the top 5, Westbrook 1, DeMar DeRozan, who's been going nuts, number 2.
Yeah.
Boogie Cousins 3, Harden 4, Kawhi Leonard 5. I would have said Damon Lillard, the guys that I told you at the start of the season I thought would be MVP candidates. I would have put Lillard and Davis in the top 5. They're 6 and 7. Curry is 12th. LeBron, wait for it, 22nd.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, I've watched some of their games and on League Pass. I think that what people are saying, including the Cavs announcers and then the national guys have picked up on it, he is not focused this year on stats like he's been in years past. He's almost more focused on Kyrie being the guy that leads them from a scoring perspective because he feels like in the playoffs, it'll build more confidence. Kyrie will be more successful. But he is focused on Oscar Roberts. He is very much a history aficionado with the league. And he knows that the only guy in the history of the league that's ever averaged a triple-double is Oscar Robertson. Going into the game 2 nights ago against Atlanta, he was like 2/10 of a point on his average for rebounding from averaging a triple-double on the season. And that's he's got assists and he's got points. That's his focus this year.
Who, LeBron?
Yeah, he wants to average a triple-double.
Okay.
So I don't know what you feel about the CP3 number 1. Just doesn't feel right to me. And then when they updated it today, I'm looking at where he is in terms of the list. And he was 1, and they've played better. They've been blowing people out. But now he's 38th. As of today. So that doesn't make a lot of sense from that regard. But Chris Paul, the Clippers, by the way, I hate doing this, but I did mention this at the start of the year. I thought their bench was better. I thought they were a team that could contend because of their bench. But I didn't realize after 8 games, their win differential is like a plus 135. They are blowing everyone out.
Yeah. It's not close, really. And it should come as no surprise. I mean, the Clippers were one of those teams where some people slept on them. Yep. I think a lot of us did, but they're loaded, man, and they are experienced. They haven't performed well in the playoffs. But, you know, it reminds me, anytime I hear about, like, a team that has not done well in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden they seem to start putting it all together, it reminds me of some of the old, like, Oilers teams. The Oilers would get there and fail and fail and fail, but then they got better, and that's kind of part of that process. And the same thing with the Rockets. When the Rockets won their two championships, people forget they had a great run of making the playoffs several years in a row and coming up short. And I think that you might be seeing that with the Clippers. I mean, it's still a long ways to go. But the Clippers remind me of one of those teams, a la the Rockets, where, you know, they've got dominant players, but they also have a ton of experience in the postseason.
Yep.
So it shouldn't come as a surprise, even though I think we all look at it and go, wow, man, it's not even close right now.
I think if their bench comes through this season, I think they could be one of the scariest teams.
Well, that's what I said. I said all along, getting Spates, getting guys to around Jamal Crawford on their second unit makes them really scary because of the fact that they can bring guys in that, you know, have been around the league, that have experience, that when, you know, playoffs, it's all going to be, Barry, you hit on it. It's a push comes to shove kind of thing. Great in the regular season, but you got to do it in the playoffs. They're still smarting over the complete debacle where they crumbled to the Rockets after being up 3-1.
Yeah.
They have to prove themselves. And look, that window is closing every single year on Paul and the entire makeup of this team. Blake Griffin's going to be free pretty soon. Chris Paul's coming up. You know, they've got to make sure they solidify everything and make their run now, because it's going to be harder, even with all the salaries and the salary cap going up, to keep their best players and also maintain that strong of a bench. That's why it's a big deal that they try and win now. But I definitely put them up in the top three in the West. I think that they can compete with San Antonio and Golden State. And again, we will judge it better at the end of the year. But at least in the early going, it looks like that there's one team that has improved and gotten better. I said all along I thought Golden State was going to take some time. I still think at the end of the season, they'll get it clicking on all cylinders, barring some injuries. And San Antonio, for as good as they looked right out of the gates, last night, they looked kind of old to me. Old and slow. I mean, David Lee got some points, but I know they got rid of David West, and I thought, well, okay, and the Gasol looks like an upgrade over Tim Duncan, and early on he was playing decent. But again, last night, Aldridge looked off, Gasol looked off. They didn't impress me a whole lot.
Which
and
is
I know,
another reason why I think Leonard is going to just have another, like I've been saying, he's going to have a crazy year, and I think he's my favorite. Speaking of that list, he's my favorite player on that list in terms of top five.
Yeah. Is that right?
I think he'll stay in the top five the entire season. He's gonna be a great player for the Spurs.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you talked about was the Clippers losing that 3-1 lead. I think those are the kind of things that build that character for teams to kind of bounce back and make a better run in the playoffs. Because now they know you have, when you have a team down, you've got to step on their throat. Like, you have to go for the kill. And you can't relax and you can't let up. And they, you know, that's what happens. So it's surprising in a way, but it shouldn't be because of the depth that they have. More surprising is the Hornets.
Yeah, they're on fire, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
Kemba Walker used to be a man on a planet by himself. Kemba Walker's getting some help, and they're playing well, too.
6-1, you know, their differential is plus eight and a half. But they're on a four-game winning streak. They're 6-1 right now. It's impressive, because if you look at their depth chart, not a deep
team.
They
got some talent.
Just not, nothing stands out at you. I mean, Nicholas Batum, Kemba Walker, Michael Kidd, Gilchrist, Cody Zeller, Marvin Williams. That's their starting five. Any of those make you feel great?
Well, I mean, Hibbert in the middle helps them, but for the most part, nothing's going to jump right out, slap you in the face, and go, you better be worried about
it. He's playing behind Zeller right now. Yeah. So it's, I don't suspect that the Charlotte Hornets are going to sustain that, but good for them starting off 6-1.
Well, MJ sure hopes so.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, and let me throw this out to you before we get off the Clippers. The one thing that I meant to say, too, which he's my least favorite player in the entire league, but the guy that I think the Clippers missed the most, especially come ball crunching time in the playoffs, Matt Barnes.
Oh.
Matt Barnes gave them that kind of F you attitude and that kind of edginess. And also, he always was kind of like the goon that would come out of nowhere and punch someone if you messed with any of their guys, especially Griffin, who likes to complain but does get hit a lot. I think they still need a guy like that, and I'm not sold that anybody on their roster is that guy. Spates is as close as it gets. But that remains to be seen, too, if they can be tough enough come playoff time, because they know teams like Memphis are going to beat the hell out of them. And they got to be ready for it. So it'll be interesting to see. Let's talk about the Hornets when we get back. Let's talk about more NBA if you want to. Please join us on the show. We are here till 4, 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you want to talk about. We'll talk about it if it makes sense and it's a good topic. And if we won't, then we'll probably call you out and tell you why it's not. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, if you guys want to join the show, you should call up today because the legend that is Trey is on the phones. He is a spelling bee champion. He is a master of the people and getting them to do the right thing, like vote. He is a man of no hair product. A man of the flat visor snapback hat that has been sat on, run over by a truck, and kicked by several curbs. But he is here today. So if you just for the sheer entertainment value of calling in so you can talk to Trey, you should do so. And you can reach him at 713-780-ESPN. He will be taking your phone calls and handing out both voting advice and relationship advice.
Oh, God.
Until 4 o'clock.
So Trey giving out relationship advice?
He will give you a website for everything.
Questioning him now, Barry.
That's like a monk giving out sex advice. That just doesn't make any sense.
I wonder, by the way, do you think Nick has figured out his first booby movie?
Dude, I asked my brother that question yesterday. I'm like, do you remember the first time you seen anything like that? He's like, no, I really don't remember the first time.
Your brother?
You know, it's because you don't have
5 years younger than I am. He's like 27.
You don't have your priorities straight.
I don't remember that. I don't remember
anything
really
else.
Like
on a list or everything else straight, by the way.
On a list of priorities, it should be like breathing, eating.
First booby movie?
Boobs. Yeah. That's the priority. That's if you don't have that. Then I don't know what's.
I'll come up with one.
No, don't make it up. I want the truth.
You got it. It's just got to be straight.
I want the truth.
You know,
Nick,
I can't think
of
it.
I really
has
can't
the answer.
Think of it.
Your mom.
Oh wow.
He's or your dad? Because you probably. I mean, at least
the mom.
You walk in. You walk in the living room. Your dad. Like even Keenan said that. You walk in the living room and your dad.
Yeah, but my parents
like,
didn't really have
here.
Strict rules about what I should watch on TV. They really didn't care.
Really? They were pretty laid back.
But were they
really
watching it?
My mom was
if they
like
were
that.
Watching some, then you might
I
have walked in.
I never got
it.
In trouble for what I watched on TV, ever.
Yeah, my mom didn't like, care. Ever. My dad would regulate if he was up, but he always would pass out on the couch, so he didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, my dad was the big chair. He slept more in the chair than he did the bed, I think.
Well, yeah, like all this parental control that they're given access to all these parents. There's no way my dad would waste the time to even mess with that. You know what I mean? Like, if it was around when I was growing up, he wouldn't even touch it.
Yeah.
The thing is, too, back then, TV shows were totally different than they are now. When everybody's talking about Netflix and shows where just your common TV shows can have a lot of...
Oh, gratuitous.
Yeah.
It's great.
And that's what no one had when we were growing up, which is crazy.
No. Yeah.
Not that Leave It to Beaver was the end-all be-all. But it definitely wasn't Leave It to Beaver.
And there were some hot sitcom... chicks that you wouldn't have mind seeing topless.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, I mean, it always started a little back before us where it was like Ginger versus Marianne. But at the same time, when you look back and like when we were growing up, there were some favorites. Like, you know, we started with favorite toys yesterday when you were a kid and then it got to boob movies. But at the same time, when you were growing up, what were some of your favorite TV shows as you kind of advanced through life? And if there was a hot chick in that show, obviously let us know that as well, because I mean, you get to what, The Facts of Life?
No.
I mean, I know you're a Natalie guy.
No,
but I mean, everybody goes Blair versus Joe. I thought Joe was sneaky hot.
No, I didn't. Tootie, none of them did that for me. No, I mean, Facts of Life. Like, I was more like Daisy Duke.
Oh, Daisy Duke. Barbara
like,
Bach
she,
was
Lisa
off the
Bonet.
Chain. Lisa Bonet.
Whew,
yeah,
she was bad.
Yeah, and you know, when Janet Jackson played on Different Strokes, oh gosh, it escapes me what her character name was, but she was Willis's girlfriend, Charlene.
Uh-huh.
Janet Jackson looked fantastic back then.
Alyssa Milano from Who's the Boss?
Phenomenal.
Christina Applegate for sure.
Yes.
Christina Applegate was great.
For show.
What was she ended up being on Baywatch. Nicole Eggert was on Scott Baio's show. Charles in Charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
older daughter? Very yeah, or yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nicole Eggert?
Yep, that's what I said, yeah.
Yeah. Robin Givens, that one moved the needle for you. That was Charles in Charge, wasn't it? Oh, no, Head of the Class. And then there was
it moved Mike Tyson in a lot.
The Wonder Years. What was her name?
Oh, Winnie.
Yes,
Winnie on the Wonder Years.
Boy,
supposedly she's still hot now.
Is she?
Don't know.
So if you had a crush on a TV show chick back in the day, let us know. Nick wasn't allowed to watch TV or movies back then, evidently. but if he does have some that come to mind. Nick, okay, come on.
I throw out Christina Applegate.
No, you
did. Yeah, yeah, see?
No, that was
for
good.
For sure. I was going through a list that I found, and T.J. Hooker apparently had two different
Heather Thomas. Heather Thomas,
And what's this other chick? Heather Locklear.
And we're Heather Locklear was Hooker. Like
extremely hot. Yep.
Heather Locklear was hot for a long time.
Yeah. And then Charlie's Angels, did any of them do it for you?
No.
Farrah?
I think Bill Worrell dated all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Like, totally honestly, I believe so.
Oh, my God. Like, the original Charlie's Angels?
Yeah, I know that.
Oh, Bill.
I believe Bill dated Jacqueline
Bosley.
Smith.
What was it? Bosley, right?
And he was, I knew that he knew Farrah Fawcett. Yeah, it was great talking to Bill back in the day. I mean, I think he, I don't want to say one Linda Carter for sure, but I know Bill Worrell did very well.
Yeah. Oh, Bill was Bosley. We just didn't know it. Yeah,
hello, Angels. Yasmin Bleeth awesome. From Baywatch. J Mark chimes in on Twitter. So there you have that. Yep.
I'm sure the text line is blowing up.
Oh, God. I got to go check the text. That's my bad. Oh, Kimberly from Power Rangers, Joe Garcia said. By the way,
can I just please take care of this real quick?
What? Do it.
Your boy. Right?
Do it.
So we just got done talking about Trey, and you gave him a whole bunch of credit 2 days ago.
Right? I said he was very smart.
So would you please glance at the phone board right now? I'd love to go to a call, but I can't because there's no names on any of these calls, just subject matter.
There's
so Trey is absolutely running rampant again with no control. Trey.
There's
Adam.
Boy, oh, my
And
gosh.
Adam with a T. A-T-O-M.
Oh, hold on.
I'm tweeting this out.
Hold on.
Is now Trey, on the board. Not.
I got to take a picture of this.
This is like, what was the guy who used to be on KRB? Adam Smasher. He spelled it A-T-O-M. Oh, boy.
Trey.
Is Trey on Twitter? Because he's getting mentioned.
Trey, you're killing us. But, yes, he is on Twitter.
Can I say dumbass on the air?
You just did.
You just did. All right,
let's try it.
Apparently you can.
Adam with a T.
A-T-O-M.
Watch it really be spelled.
Is it
Adam.
Correct?
With a T.
Adam.
Yes, it is spelled with a T.
Are you serious?
It's A-T-O-M?
My parents were hippies and my dad did a lot of acid.
Wow. Okay, wow. Trey,
I took a picture
the
of the call screen.
Corrected.
I was about to, wow.
I didn't see that coming.
Cow.
All right. Well, what do you got? You
Wait,
got
no, no, no. No, we can't go straight to the girls. We got to get to this name real quick. Now, you said your parents were hippies?
Yep.
And they named you Adam?
Yeah, my mom was working as an x-ray tech, and my dad thought it'd be cool to somehow make it science-y for my first name.
Well, thank God she wasn't a gynecologist.
Did you play sports?
Thank God.
Did you play sports? In-
well, I mean, I had a birthmark of a moon and a star, so I could have been moon star.
No, no, you do not. I need a picture of this. Well, wait, where is it?
Where
is
it? Where they're located.
Yeah.
It was on my shoulder.
Oh, yeah, I need a picture of this birthmark. Tweet it to me.
No, it grew together. I mean, as I got older, it grew.
Oh, you got fat, in other words. Don't lie.
I didn't say that was Barry. That was Barry.
You got muscular?
Joel's going to be sensitive in that regard.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to offend the listeners. I'm trying to grow the fan base.
I'm just asking questions. I'm like a detective, man. So, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of the
truth.
Adam,
did you play sports?
Yes, sir, I did.
So was anybody – did you play quarterback?
No, I was a running back.
I was just – did anybody drop the Adam bomb? Because, I mean, there had to be somebody that was pumping you up with the Adam bomb.
Now, Joel, you – Hold on, Adam. Let me defend you for a minute.
Can he answer it first?
Let me defend Adam. Well, you're always the one that's like, I've heard all the blank jokes, but you're over here trying to come up with all the Adam
bomb jokes. I'm not trying to come up with one. It would make perfect sense. Okay, Adam, could you answer it, please?
Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, my coach, he would say, Adam, the Adam bomb, and, up next. Go,
that is
bomb.
So corny.
Like
that is
come
so
on.
Corny.
Don't tell me you wouldn't call him Adam Bomb.
I would not.
Adam, don't worry about it. Barry's a hater, and he's just ripping on. He does this every day.
Do you have any siblings like Nucleus or Electron or anything like that?
No, different dads.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That'll change everything.
Yeah.
Literally.
All right, so who you got? Girls on TV.
Y'all didn't mention Amber
Thiessen?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
Kelly, she got even better. Like whenever she went to 90210 from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, so. For sure, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's Kelly Kapowski, right? On Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Brent also tweeted that in. That's a good one right there.
There was a couple from 90210 that had a fastball. There were a couple of hotties on that one.
90210, yes, for sure. And Melrose Place.
Yeah, and who was the black chick on Saved by the Bell? She was hot too.
All of them were. The blonde ended up as the lead in...
Thanks for the call, Adam.
What was it? The stripper movie.
Oh, yeah. And it's called Strippers. What was her name? I got to look that up. Yeah,
was it called Strippers?
Too. Yeah. Wasn't it? Oh, Showgirls.
Showgirls.
Same thing.
You know, another sneaky hot one in Showgirls, Gina Gershon. Oof.
Oh, I got to look her up. I gotta look
her up.
Now,
Gina Gershon,
you turned me on to. I should just stop there.
Oh yeah, no,
you
let's
turned
not.
Me on, Joel. No, but you turned me on to Prince Harry's girlfriend.
Prince Harry's new girlfriend is
who
hot.
Is what's her name?
I have no idea.
Okay,
I did see it yesterday in the feed, but I don't remember it like on the back of my hand.
All right, let's go, Jay. TV hot, TV show hot girl from Alf. What's up, Jay?
Yeah, I remember there was this hot little red chick. I think it was the show Alf, and if I remember correct, I think her last name and her real last name was Cox, but it was a little redhead with.
You just with nice.
No, 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 no! She married Jay. What's the radio show guy? The Bob Sugar from Jerry Maguire. Jay Moore.
I'm not positive. I remember growing up watching the show Alf, and I really didn't care about Alf. I watched it for the chick. I forgot what her name is.
Is it Heather Cox?
I mean, Andrea Elson or Eason? That's the other one I got.
Hey, Willie! Elson. Ha! I kill me! The Alfer! I remember Alf. Alf was funny.
So you don't know her name, though? Because I'm looking at IMDb, and I don't see her on here. I don't see a chick with the last name Cox anywhere.
Then I might have a mistake, but I do remember when I was a kid, maybe 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
And there was a hot brunette on there that was just fine.
Okay. I got to go back and look now. She was a brunette, you said?
She was either a brunette or a redhead. Some people call
I think he's talking about Andrea Elson.
Well, I'm looking at the Alf Wikipedia page, and I don't.
Yeah. Whoa. I hope it wasn't Andrea Elson because she is not very hot.
No. No,
in fact, I thought she was out for a minute.
You're being harsh. She didn't look that bad, dude.
Not Alf. I didn't have to ever use the.
You know you
button.
Wanted you some Alf ass, Jay. Don't lie.
You know who you're thinking of, by the way? It's Nikki Cox. Nikki Cox is married to Jay Moore, the comedian, and Nikki Cox is absolutely hot.
Was she on Alf?
No.
No, she was not.
Oh. All right. Well, there you go.
Well, she was on one of those shows. I could have.
Yeah, I'll find it out for you. But you're right. You got the Nikki Cox part right without, you know. But definitely she was not on Alf.
Appreciate the call, Jay. Jared. Now, Jared, I got to check with you, man. Because our boy out there in the bullpen spelled your name. Spell your name for me, Jared.
J-E-R-R-E-D.
Look at this,
Trey
man.
Is rolling, man.
Trey is on top of it. All right, Jared, what's up, man? Who you got?
I got Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Ooh, I got to look this up. Because I don't think Topanga's I ever watched Boy man. Meets World. I got to look up Topanga, though.
Yeah, Topanga's hot.
Yeah, man. And the girl Nikki Cox, I think she played on Happily Ever After.
Yes, she did. You're absolutely right. I just Wikipedia'd it. Yes, Unhappily Ever was Unhappily Ever After was the one that she was known for most.
Oh yeah, Topanga. That's,
but Nikki Cox also was on Baywatch as well. So when you get to be Baywatch status, you know you've got to be pretty steamy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Topanga. Name is Danielle Fishel. Yeah, she's a thick gal too. That's nice. All right, Michael.
Jared, thanks.
We'll come to you
buddy.
After the break, right?
It's Barry's show, man. I'm just
trying to facilitate,
Joel. You are absolutely facilitating. All right, Michael, hang on with us. We got more to come. If you want to talk about your crush or the hot chick that you remember on TV when you were watching TV as a kid, let us know. Nikki Cox still on the board.
Yeah,
it's not bad. All right, we have much more to come. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So we're back. We're talking about sports. We're talking about hot chicks and TV shows when you were growing up.
I don't even know how we got started on the hot chicks thing, but I like it.
I had mentioned like shows that you remember when you were growing up yesterday, but we did kind of roll right into because we were talking. I guess we kind of rotated it from.
I don't remember
first time you saw boobies in a movie.
Oh yeah, maybe so. And then that's right, like hot chicks you wanted to see. Because it was the Netflix thing.
Nick's always been a fan of Sarah Gilbert from The Talk. Never mind.
Here's.
I'm assuming Sarah Gilbert doesn't look very hot.
So I loaded up the text. We've got Three's Company and Wonder Woman. Yeah, I remember those. Yeah,
Linda
lots
Carter.
Of Topanga. Oh, Thelma from Good Times was sneaky hot. Oh, yeah. Don't even front.
Come on now.
Thelma? No.
Janet Jackson was on that. Was on Good Times as well.
Thelma from Good Times was sneaky hot. That was.
I'm sure you liked Big Shirley, too, from What's Happening.
No.
Just throwing it out there.
Not at all. All the girls from Saved by the Bell. Winnie? Oh, yeah. Project, what? No. Sarah Michelle Gellar from Buffy.
See, this one bothers me. Sir Chomps-a-Lot says Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana. See, that's crickets.
That's kind of freaky.
It's a little bothersome.
That's kind of weird. And yeah. I never thought that even now she's
no.
not hot.
Mm-mm, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Then he said Marsha from the Brady Bunch.
We are getting a ton of Topanga. Tons and tons. So, yeah. Apparently, that would be like the leader in the clubhouse at this
she
point.
She reached some people.
Nikki Cox. Yeah, apparently she did.
Nikki Cox was hot. I don't know if she still is.
Yeah, she was. She was very hot. Let's see. Christina Applegate. Yeah. What was the one that you read, Nick? Who said it? Because I couldn't find the tweet. Somebody said Jackie from Roseanne.
I forgot. I think it was Joe Garcia who said
Joe,
that.
What the hell is wrong with you,
well,
man?
And then he followed that up was, and I already mentioned who, he says, who was the tough chick from the Facts
of Life?
Yeah, that's
what I'm looking at.
And
I'm
said,
right
that's
now.
Joe. I said Blair versus Joe. Joe was Nancy McKeon or something like that.
Joe Garcia. Joe's a lesbian, apparently. I don't know what's going on with him.
Man, Barry's just trying to offend all of our listeners today.
Joe's a lesbian because he likes the mechanic chick from Facts of Life. And Jackie
he just
from
might
Roseanne?
Like, he just might like Tough Girl.
Oh, God, that's hilarious. That
is Nancy McKeon.
Hilarious.
She didn't look that bad
Nancy
from
McKeon.
Her picks.
And her brother was an actor, too, I believe.
Oh, yeah?
I think Joe's just collecting all the
right?
worst ones.
Lisa Turtle. There's, Leah Remini?
Leah Remini from...
King of Queens?
Yep.
She was sneaky sexy. Like, she was not
then
like...
She went off the chain. She went to the
she
Tom
went nuts.
Cruise...
Yeah, she went crazy
Scientology. Now she's out, and she's trying to out the entire Church of Scientology.
Yeah, apparently so. Someone said Debbie Dunning from Home Improvement, the second Tool Time girl.
Yeah, I don't...
I would have to look her up. And Aunt Becky from Full House. Aunt Becky was kind of homely, though, right?
Nah, Aunt Becky wasn't that bad.
All right. Joel, I'll let you go to the callers.
Please. You told your boy Michael to wait. Michael, you got two that you used to like. What's up, man?
This is Michael. Y'all already said one of them, Christina Applegate.
Man.
I used to think that the grandmother on Mama's Family was pretty hot, too.
Jeez. The grandma on Mama's Family.
Michael, you tell me, please.
You ran the gamut, my man.
Please tell me. You're talking about Vicki Lawrence? Hey. Vicki Lawrence?
The older lady. I like my meat with seasoning on it.
Michael, you got some freak in you. I can tell, man. You definitely have
some. I the Golden Girls, too.
Oh, come on now.
If we're going all the way to the Golden Girls, then we probably are too old to be doing this show.
Yeah. But I'm not with you. I'm not with you on Vicki Lawrence, the grandma on Mama's Family. I can't. You lost me with that one. But Christina Applegate? I would have to say if I were going to rank them as far as sitcom hot chicks.
She's definitely up there.
I think she's got to be top three for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I'm with you.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, that's without a
doubt.
I'm
surprised Carmen Electra hasn't hit because Carmen Electra and Which Pam sitcom? Anderson on Baywatch.
Thanks for the call, Michael.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, both, that's true.
Carmen Electra just about on anything. Carmen Electra still looks good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she does.
She had really weird taste in men.
I thought you were going to say something else.
No, between Rodman and the lead singer. Before that, she was married to the lead singer of...
yeah, that just runs it too, doesn't it?
You want to get loco?
Tommy...
Cypress Hill.
Yeah, Cypress Hill. She was real. With Cypress Hill.
Yeah.
Then she was... And then who's the guitar player? Dave, he was on MTV all the time. She was married to him, too. She liked the hard rock and the tattoos, and then she went to Rodman.
See, and Rodman would just run. Like, I wouldn't want to follow Rodman. You know what I mean? Like,
believe me,
I wouldn't want Dennis Rodman's seconds. That's just, no. That would just, I'm out. I'm just out.
How about Brad Pitt's seconds?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, then throw Derek Jeter in that mix, too. Because Derek Jeter's black book.
I don't know. He's kind of dreamy.
Okay.
I knew he'd go down.
By the way,
I said it.
Ooh.
I'm glad there's no name attached to this, but one of the comments on the phone board, which is blowing up right now.
Oh, there'll be a
No, read
name.
The bottom comment,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, I see. We'll get to it.
Shane.
Who's next?
Shane.
No, Nate's next.
No, we're going to Shane.
Look at that last name. Is that last name real?
I don't know. Yeah, for Shane?
Okay, so Shane or... No, Click.
Oh, yeah. Who knows? Shane, bring it.
What do you got?
Okay. First of all, Carmen Electra was with Prince, and it was Dave Navarro.
Ah, Dave Navarro. That was the guy. To. Yeah.
Dave Navarro was the guy on MTV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also does the tattoo show, Ink Master.
Yes.
There you go. So I was right about the tattoo part.
But you're missing a Tool Time girl. Her name was Erica Eleniak.
Oh, I remember her.
Who was also on the movie Under Siege. She was a Playboy playmate.
Yep.
Well, that's you stop right there.
She did actually have a guest appearance on Charles in Charge.
See there? Look at this. Shane's got a little stalker in him.
Before Scott Baio was a Trump supporter, he was rolling some pretty hot chicks into his shows.
Yeah.
But if you also go back to Charles in Charge, you got to include Jennifer Runyon, who was his love interest in the show.
I'm looking this up.
Also played a guest appearance on the first Ghostbusters when Bill Murray tried to pick her up with the psychic job.
Shane's like the sexy stalker, Rain Man of Hollywood.
You are dropping a lot.
I watch stuff. I remember it like a sponge.
You're lonely, aren't you, Shane? Don't lie.
No, actually, I'm married.
I'm just messing with you.
Well, you can still be lonely, yeah. Shane, but I'm glad you're not. I mean,
Erica Eleniak is a good call, though, man. That's a good pull. Thanks for the call, Shane.
Yep.
All right, Shane, have a good day, man. Go ahead, Barry, where you going?
Nate, what's up, man? Nate, who you got?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Just for all the kind of nerds of my generation here, 7 of 9 from Star Trek Voyager, man.
Dude.
Whoa.
Now, I wasn't a Star Trek guy, but yeah, 7 of 9 has certainly popped a lot of tents for the nerd population. Through the years. Yeah. That's if you knew a Star Trek dude, that's all they talked about was 7 and 9. What was her name?
I'm not familiar.
Do you remember?
I want to say like Carrie something.
I'll Google it. Jerry Ryan. There you go. Yeah, 7 and 9 did it for a lot of dudes back in the day. Anybody else, Nate?
Man, that was everyone. I mean, Topanga, you know, but I didn't see that guy. Chimed in on Topanga, you know.
So you'd have 7 and 9 as your number one, huh?
Oh, for sure, man.
All right.
That was when I'd sneak up, you know, go turn on the TV and be like, oh, sweet.
I got you, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it. Steve, Click, Charles, we see you. We're going to be coming to you after the break. Hang tight. We'll be back with much more. Tell us who your hot chick was on a sitcom when you were growing up or growing ready to become a man in this world. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.